comic book collectors, do you want to protect what you collect? Do you hate when your comic books slide around in your short box, or you need to turn them sideways just so they don't bend or fall over? Well, look no further than Sidekick Supplies. Their product fits firmly inside your comic box, so you don't need to worry. And not only is their product made in the USA, but also ships free directly to your doorstop. Check out our sponsor, Sidekick Supplies, at sidekicksupplies.com and use the code ComicCon15 for 15% off your purchase. Believe me, you'll be ordering more than one.
Welcome to the one and only Comic-Con podcast, your podcast for comic book news, reviews, and comic community drama, with your hosts, Nemesis Prime and Milton the Madman. Are you listening?
Good afternoon, good evening, good morning, whenever you're listening to this. What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Comic-Con podcast, season 4, episode 10, recording this on March the 8th, 2024. It's your boy, Nemesis Prime, and we have our friend. He's back from the East Coast. How was the East Coast, Mr. Zach Coupeau?
Man, dude, it was hectic. So, you know, been talking about it for shit, man, since probably July, right? Last year that work are changing, and I'll be living in outside of DC moving forward. Mm-hmm. So anyway, we went out there to look for a house or a place to live besides a tent underneath some highway out there. But we went out there, and man, it was rough. It was rough looking, like not a lot of inventory for houses, whether you're buying or renting, and prices are way different than they are out here in Texas. But anyway, long story short, we found a place, an awesome house, beautiful house. It's gonna be great for our family. And yeah, man, just south of DC, about a half hour, hour-ish train ride into DC. And so pretty excited, man. The ball's moving. We're rolling out of here from El Paso end of March. I will be on the East Coast beginning of April. First event, King Con, 2 days after I roll into DC. I'm ditching the wife and the baby and going up to a comic event. So just setting the tone, man. Excited. Excited.
Awesome. That's a great story, Coupeau.
Yeah. Oh, Coupeau. Dude, East Coasters, bro. Here's my goal, man. Look, you East Coasters, you're something else. And
tell.
You guys need some politeness or like some attitude change, man. Like, I don't know. I'm bringing some Texas etiquette out to the East Coast, and I'm going to try to change you guys how to be nice to each other, how to like look at someone when you pass them on the sidewalk and like, oh, hi, you know, not just look at them like they're scum or something like that. Like, dude, it's rough out there, bro.
Well, I said that to you when I went out to Dallas 2 years ago for my job. And I was like, wow, I was like, this is just awesome. It's amazing. Everyone's so nice and everything like that. And I think the problem is you go to these places that are big cities, you know, fully populated places. Like, I think if you went to like, I don't know, Greenville, North Carolina, or like it's the burbs of, you know, the East Coast and like, you know, like Louisiana or something, I think it's different. Mm-hmm. I think that's the mentality is it's fast paced, especially the DC area. It's whatever. Baltimore would be the same, New York, New Jersey, Philly, you know, I think that's the problem. I think if you went to like a very small place, you'd find a lot of nicer places, because there are places like that. Even in South Jersey, there's very nice places, like small towns that are places are very nice. PA, there's some nice places that I've been to. So.
Yeah, dude, there's just way too many people in DC too. Like, I will probably avoid DC like the plague if at all possible. You're just driving through that, and it's so funny, right? It's like our nation's capital, and you're driving through that, and you would think everything's going to be like nice and ordered. Dude, driving in DC, it's like, it's lawless. Like, the way the roads work and like the turn signals, I mean, they just were making up rules as they went. They're like, hey, we need to turn left here. Okay, so we need a custom light that has you turn left 3 times after everyone else goes straight or something. It's like the
weirdest. Oh, that's right. You don't have like turn signals out there. That's right.
Oh, we do. We have a main, like the normal turn signal, the left turn signal.
Yeah.
It's the only turn signal you need if you have normal roads. But in like DC, there's like U-turn roads, and they're like crisscross roads. And dude, it's wild. Like,
it could take you sometimes, just the city itself could take you 45 minutes to get across. Like,
oh, yeah. I mean, I don't know how people will do it before. I'm really, so one of my superpowers is I'm like really good with directions. I've always been really good directions. I don't typically get lost. You can put me in a new city and I'm going to kind of figure it out pretty quickly. I'm definitely going to have my, it's definitely gonna be tough in DC. And I think about the people who aren't, like my wife, for example, is horrible. She doesn't even know, like basically two roads from our house pretty much. And I don't know how you figured out before maps, right? Before like the iPhone and stuff. I know you and I used to do the Yahoo Maps, right? Where you print out directions.
Yeah, of course, concerts.
Yeah, but dude, I don't know how people figured out DC back then. Like, it's wild.
Yeah, it's not like a grid like New York. Not at all. New York is just like numbers up and down, left and right.
It's streets, insanity.
Avenues, whatever. But all right, let's get into the show because you're cutting into my Final Fantasy VII Rebirth.
Oh, I got some FF7 in my future tonight too.
Yeah, you better.
Finally,
we'll see where you're at once this after the week's over. Now that so. Let's get into some community stuff. We got a couple questions. First question comes to us. Do you have any faith in Zeb Wells turning around ASM, or do you feel a new writer would be better? Zach, want to kick us off on that?
Yeah, sure. I mean, like most people probably listening who listen to us regularly know, I'm not a big Spider-Man fan. I'm not reading a lot of Spider-Man, but I will tell you this. The reason when you brought up this question, I said I kind of had an answer to it was I saw like an ad in one of the current issues. Let me see if I can find it. Oh, it doesn't really matter. For an upcoming issue, the front of the issue is, what's Ben Reilly's name now?
Chasm.
Yeah. Chasm and Hallows Eve. And they're on like a rooftop or whatever. And he says something like Chasm on the cover says, well, time to torture Spider-Man. And then Hallows Eve says, can we just kill him already? And I'm like, this is why Zeb Wells isn't going to turn it around. You're not doing anything new, bro. Like, you're bringing back all these old characters. Like, when's the last new story? And this isn't just Spider-Man. You know, we talk about this all the time, but like, when's the last new, like, ingenious story for Spider-Man? I mean, I'm sure there's one after it, but I can really only think of the Superior Spider-Man storyline, right? Where like things were actually new. It wasn't like, hey, here comes a villain from the past. Granted, that was like Doc Ock. I get that. Mm-hmm. But it's not like the return of Norman or the return of Harry for the ninth time, or well, guess what? Here's a like four symbiotes we haven't seen before. But I don't know, dude. They got to do something new with Spidey. I don't know. I don't have any faith. I don't.
Yeah. You know, what's crazy is to think that Zeb Wells used to be a great writer, right? He did a lot of good stuff.
Yeah. He's good. Years. Yeah.
It's almost like the same thing in like Batman. Like you can't put a bad writer on Batman. Like you need to put a top tier writer on these titles, and having Zeb Wells is not the greatest. Yes. His track record is great, but I don't think he has that, you know, that next phase of Spider-Man's life. That's the biggest thing, right? Like we're actually seeing at least the progression in the Bat family with Batman, with like Chip, right? Because it's like, whether it was Tinian or, you know, Chip taking it on, or, you know, anybody in between, they've always done like a different style and it's still been good and it's changed Bruce.
Yeah.
On the other flip side, you have Spider-Man who has the villains, who has everybody who you can think of, and you can't get a good writer to lock down a great Spider-Man storyline. And that's why I think people are fluctuating to this Ultimate Spider-Man universe. Like,
yeah, they need to go back. Something
different and good.
They need to pick like an old, like an, I don't want to say like an obscure villain, but like a classic villain. Maybe not Vulture, but like a Vulture, like a Rhino, like a classic guy who hasn't, sort of like what we're seeing with Penguin in the DC universe. Pick a classic villain that hasn't got a lot of, and then power him up, or have them come up with a great plan. It doesn't need to be something wild, man. It doesn't need to be, Morlin or whatever, like in the Spider-Verse and something so wild and shit. Just a really good plan that puts Spider-Man on his heels. That's what we need to do. A villain who's like, you know what, dude, I'm sick of being a B or C villain. Time to up my game and have a badass story. That's what I think. That's what you bring Spider-Man back. Everyone always, like you said, equates Spider-Man and Batman as the two heroes with the best rogues gallery, right? So utilize it, get into it, and get rid of some of this. I mean, not get rid of them, but like peel back from the extra characters, the J. Jonas and the supporting cast in the Spider-Man universe, and go back to basics, man. Just Spidey and a villain and going at it, man. Yeah. That's what I think would be great. That's something I would be interested in picking the book back up for.
Well, we'll see what happens, you know, over this year with whatever they're writing, and obviously with tons of story arcs and tie-ins and this and that, and who knows what'll happen.
Yeah.
So great question. Next up we have, and this is coming over again from our Instagram, any new books, and of course we are always talking books, so any new books slipping under the radar y'all would recommend? This is a tough one because I think Zach and I read, we're always talking about,
you guys are hearing what we think.
Yeah, we're never like, oh, don't buy this. You know, we're not,
we've been holding this one secret. We didn't want to tell you about.
I'll talk about some books later on, but I don't really think there's anything that's slipping under the radar. Maybe even, upcoming books, you know, I don't look too far in advance, but there are some things that are coming down the pipeline that I'm interested in, but you know, you'll hear about them once they come out. You know, we'll read them and we'll tell them if they're good. We'll tell them if they're bad, I guess.
Yeah, man. I don't know. I mean, outside the stuff that we usually talk about, like I've said, the Massive Verse, Charles Soule's stuff.
What is it? There's like the new, I think anything in Distillery, kind of, right? Like there's a new one called Spectrograph. That one's coming out from James Tinian. And I know everyone's just like, oh, it's James Tinian, it's probably going to be good. But I don't think, because it's not an Image or Boom title, people may forget about that, right? Uh-huh. So it may come out and it might be under ordered.
True. Yeah.
You know, something to check out. I'm trying to get some information on a little bit more in on it and see what happens. The only reason I noticed it was there was this cool Jenny Frizzin cover. So that's how I came across it, but yeah. I think that's coming out at the end of this month, so if you're looking for something different, don't quote me. I don't know the size of it. I don't know, it's going to be a comic book size or like that in between or that magazine format. So
that's been my problem with Distillery, is I can't do the magazine format right now. One thing, I guess, and we've talked about it before, but they have a new book coming out, I think the after we're recording this, the 7th, which is Thursday, I believe it's 4 more days for the Ripaverse is coming out with a new book. Yaira, number 1 is coming out for like a pre-order or for, I believe in like 3 or 4 days. And yeah, I think honestly, that's a good book to, that's a under the radar kind of universe, you know, Isom, you got Alpha Corps now and you have Yaira. So they have 3 different titles going on right now. All by different writers, Chuck Dixon doing Alpha Corps. I mean, Chuck Dixon's not a no name writer, you know? Yeah. So, the Ripaverse is pretty good, dude. And it's a great book with a lot of content, and you're actually paying, like what you're paying for the book, you're getting in terms of content and writing and story, and, really enjoying it. So I'm excited. As soon as it pops off, and I've been watching their Instagram and their social media stuff, as soon as it's available, I'll be ordering a Yaira number 1 for sure. So,
yeah. I saw that on Instagram and posted on YouTube because I follow Eric as well. So good questions, everybody. Again, you could always send it to our Gmail account, comiccompodcast@gmail.com, or hit us up directly on Instagram on any 3 of our accounts. Before we get out of the community section, I thought this was a perfect little thing, and I can't take credit, but we're going to just play it real quick. Aaron over at Josh's Comics posted this video today on the 7th, and I think this is a great thing to talk about, based on what's been happening over the past few months with comic books. So let's just hear this, and then we'll take Zach and I will take our what we're going to talk about regarding it.
So this past week, PSA, the largest card rating company on fucking earth, it's the CGC of trading cards and sports cards, bought SGC, a much smaller rival. They're going to keep the two businesses separate. But here is the question for you guys. What would happen if PSA and the combined SGC decide to grade comic books? Do you think it's time for another comic book grading company? And if so, why? I think it's a great thing. Competition is awesome. It makes everything better. Why? Because it holds people more accountable and it gives consumers more options. So please, let me know what you think in the comments below. And as always, Thank you for following me. And say no to FOMO.
I love fucking Aaron. So, yeah.
First off, before getting into the content of his message, Aaron lives in California, right? Because this dude is outside all the time. Oh, the yeah. weather always looks pretty good, yeah, pretty damn nice. Good, right? I'm always like, nice out there. Bro, it's December and you just like basic winter clothes on. So,
yeah. So, yeah, do we need another grading company? And especially if PSA, you know, started that up. Because, again, you know, you have all these grading companies for everything under the sun now, right? Now they're doing CDs and vinyls and tape decks, but comics, it's mainly what we have. CGC is the big monopoly, and then you get CBCS, and you get some other randos, you know, who kind of gets in this, like EGX, right? And yeah. that other God,
PGX.
There's that terrible, yeah, that terrible company, PGX. But I would like to see that, because for the most part, like you said, like everybody goes to PSA for cards, right? That is the brand to go for. Now, comics, everybody goes to CGC. PSA kind of stepped in and was like, listen, we're doing comics. I think you'd see a little bit of a change. I think people would invite the competition. And I think people would be, you know, try something different, you know, cooler cases, maybe not so many problems. Because for the most part, too, you know, other than I think, say this now, recently someone bought a PSA 10. Charizard first edition, and it was trimmed.
Ooh,
so there was some issues. Yeah. So there is some issues, obviously quality control, pretty shitty, but I think it would be invite. I like the idea of competition, like Aaron says. So thoughts on it?
I mean, I'm in a complete agreement with you guys, with both of you. I think competition is always, always a good thing. I just don't have faith in the comic book community using a different product. The problem is the same thing it's always been, is I've spoken about this millions and millions of times. I do not think people should price their books differently from CGC with CBCS when you try to sell a book. I think it's absurd. You're paying for a grading company. And that's the problem we have. That's the biggest hurdle, I believe, is not like, hey, let's introduce someone else and try someone else out. The biggest hurdle is the community has accepted that CGC books, for whatever reason, some obscure, makes no sense reason, deserve a higher price tag than other grading companies. And that's where the problem is going to lie. People won't move to this. I mean, CBCS is very good. It's an amazing grading company. Their slabs are beautiful. Their labels are great. There's no reason why people shouldn't be, you know, purchasing from CBCS except for that same reason. So until we can tackle that problem, I don't know, man. I don't think it's going to be very successful. That, now, I'm not saying I don't think we shouldn't have it. I 100% agree. Mm-hmm. We need more competition. You keep people in check, and that's how you make sure quality control stays up, where we all know CGC has a tendency to just do whatever they want because they know that they're kind of the last stop shop. You know, they have basically a monopoly for the most part.
This is almost like a callback to what we were talking about last week with the issues that Metropolis Comics is having, right?
Right.
Like when Vince was saying something like, oh, well, modern books should be graded 9.6 to 9.8. So you're going to say that your grading on specific books, whether it's modern, Silver Age, Golden, is better than my grading. You know, like if you had the same book, literally, if we both picked it off of the rack at the same day, same shop, and they're literally, you know, are you going to buy from me? Or are you going to buy from them if we have the same price, right? It's like that. It's like a monopoly. Like they're the bigger person than me. Mm-hmm. I could technically have looked over the comic better. CGC, they, you know, we've seen a lot of issues with them. So yeah, nobody's going to try to change, you know, nobody's going to try the little guy or the new guy, right? They're just going to keep going.
Right.
Same stuff. People have been having all this quality control with CGC and people still use them. People have all these complaints. You know, I think we're one of the few people who didn't really get down all that BS, right? Like we didn't talk about that.
I don't see, that's because I don't really mess with that anymore. You used to grade a lot, and I don't think you grade as much.
I still
as
do, used, right? But we never went down that rabbit hole of like everything that was going on, like all the issues and stuff like that. And I think that was, you know, it is what it is. Like I just sent in 7 books. I'm getting them back like within a week, whatever. They were there for like whatever 2 weeks. They're literally 9/4 to 9/8. I was hoping for pretty much close to 9/8 on everything. I'm happy, whatever. I'll keep two or three, sell them. You know, I'm still going to use them. Why? Because, you know, it's fast turnaround. Same thing. Like, I send my video games to CGC. Why do I send them to there? Because they're a little bit faster.
Right.
Do I get more money if I went to WADA? Yeah, of course. But, you know, I like the turnaround times. I like the cases. Maybe, you know, in time I would start sending stuff to WADA as well. But whatever. I'm just people are creatures of habit. That's really was realistically what it is. I used to use CBCS. Yeah. I mean, I used to be a dealer. What was it last year? Maybe 2022. Maybe even 2022. I was a retailer, quote unquote, retailer account for CBCS. So I used to get like a nice heavier discount than most people because I was sending in so much. And I stopped because I just wasn't selling the books. And that sucks because I like the discount, but it still didn't make up for, you know, selling the book for me.
I think another benefit to being like a new company as well would be, obviously you have like these retailers and you have the vendors and stuff and the people like Metropolis as well. And I'm not saying this is all across the board. I don't want everyone to take this as like I'm painting everyone as a villain here. But like we saw with the Metropolis situation, some vendors have relationships with these companies, right? Relationships that are not above board and are probably getting, and when I say these companies, I mean CGC, right? So like the company's like, hey, I'm going to send their books. And there's always been these theories that these vendors, these sellers, these companies are getting preferential treatment and grading on their books, right? And so bringing a new person into it, a new grading company, maybe would break that open a little bit more and have a little bit more availability. So if you have a new company that's offering discounted prices, well, now said vendor might be like, hey, maybe I need to take my product over here because I'm going to be, you know, saving some more money. Maybe we kind of just get things not as shady as they are. There's no disadvantages. I think that's the final comment I want to make on this is that there would be no disadvantages to having another grading company. None. What would be a disadvantage of that? I can't think of one.
Yeah. Nothing. So we need it. We definitely need it. You know, I remember when CBCS first came out and I was quick to try them 100%. I liked them for a while. I used to send all my Silver Age Batman stuff over there. And then, you know, you trickle back and forth between the companies and you know, it's what you want to do. Some people like the cases better with CBCS. Some people like the cases better with CGC, less problems. You don't get the, what is it like?
The consumer, bro. That's capitalism, right? That's awesome. More options, you know,
yeah.
Go with what you like.
Exactly. So good question from, you know, I like those videos that Aaron puts out. I always comment on his stuff. So yeah. I think, you know, we may try to start doing that, you know, anything that he kind of posts or something that I see, you know, obviously community stuff. So, you know, community question, go check him out on Instagram over at Josh's Comics and comment what you think as well. Let's kind of get into what we are reading. We have our weekly reads. I know Zach picked up his stuff literally today because he just got back.
Yeah.
So I'll start us off with, you know, some comic books that I read this week. I'm going to start off right with some hot garbage. I got two hot garbage books. Ooh. So excited to talk about this. So
sometimes I'm more excited about the hot garbage.
I know. I think everybody's excited because then you know what it is. And, you know, again, when we say it's hot garbage in my mind. You may have loved it.
You may like it. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, to each their own.
To each their own. But. You know, I think if you think about it down the line, you may think, oh, yeah, right. It was pretty shitty. So TMNT Last Ronin Re-Evolution 1. It is a sequel that nobody asked for. It is turtles that nobody's going to care about. I just could not get into this. You know, it's the same thing. And I think I said this quite a while ago before this title came out. It's like Batman Dark Knight Returns. Frank Miller did the original. Great four issues. It was perfect. You know, didn't need anything. And then years later, he does The Dark Knight Strikes Back. Then you get The Dark Knight Master Race. And it's just shit. Last Ronin, great series. Took forever to finish. But, you know, you just kept milking it. And I think, you know, people have been saying it. Like, IDW has nothing left except for Turtles and Sonic. And I think, like, this is realistically the start of the Turtles maybe downfall. But again, we talked about Ninja Turtles coming out over the summer, getting a relaunch. I just do not like this new series. It was just unreadable. Again, turtles that I could not care about. I'd rather see Venus and, you know, Jenica. Like, those are characters that, even though I've not read those series, but I know of them, they're still cooler characters than these new, four new turtles. So, gotcha. Next up, Ultimate X-Men number one.
Oh, man, okay. I'm going to join you on this one.
Oh, my gosh. So, you know, you're going to relaunch the Ultimate Universe. And you started off with Spider-Man, started off strong. You went to Black Panther because you thought, you know what, we need the Black Panther series, and there's the next opening title, right?
It's a little different. You don't want to just keep doing the same thing, right? Fantastic Agreed. Four, yeah. everything else.
Yeah, you got the Black Panther and the Moon Knight stuff. Okay, so, you know, and we both read it. Solid, not solid. Better than the first one. But then you get the X-Men, right? And you get your first team, I shouldn't say team, your first team book in this. And you got Peach Momoko writing it, Peach Momoko doing the art. Not where you should be starting your Ultimate X-Men.
No.
You know, dude, no. And I love Japanese anime, manga, you know, all that stuff. Shit, I love Shogun right now on Hulu. You know, the West is, you know, Far East is some awesome stuff. This is not where you start the X-Men in the Ultimate Mm-mm. Universe. And, you know, is it every issue is going to be some new character? Are we going to see, you know, what's going to happen with what the Maker did? Or is this really what we're going with?
Yeah, dude, this was a big strikeout, in my opinion. And like, and I'll be honest, you know, even kind of coming into it, I didn't expect much. But I mean, I'm an X-Men guy, and I saw Peach Momoko. I've spoke how I don't like Peach Momoko's art, and that's fine. Like, that's just not my thing. But then even her writing, I was not looking forward to this title. And I was not wrong, bro. And there are so many, like, dude, some of these quote-unquote influencers out here, like, let me just warn you guys, right? I mean, like we said earlier, if you like it, you like it. And there's no judgment. Like, I don't judge you based on what you like. Everyone's got different tastes, okay? But some of these guys out here that you're seeing on Instagram or on YouTube or whatever, who constantly will, and I'm not saying be negative, but have nothing bad to say about any book out there. I mean, what are we really talking about here? Are there no garbage books out there? Are we really saying that everything that's coming out is awesome? Like, this is crazy to me. I've seen people post on this stuff. I'm talking about, oh, Ultimate X-Men, it's so fantastic. What was fantastic about it? Look, Armor is a great character, a great character. You made her, like this loser at school who's like picked on, and then there's some weird, like her friend was committed suicide. Like, what about this was X-Men? What about it at all? She turned into like her power because a car hit her. Like, there's nothing there that had anything to do with mutants, with X-Men. Granted, I know it's number one, it's issue one, but honestly, I mean, this is the character you came out the gate with. And then I think the next character is it's a brand new character.
Like Maystorm or.
Yeah. I just, dude, I see these people's posts, and I can think of one in particular. And, you know, usually I'd call out names, but I don't know. Maybe I'm feeling nice today, but just some dick writers out there like, oh, this is amazing. And it's like, because you don't want to be caught saying something bad because you have all these people who are trying to make a career out of influence.
No, they want the clicks because it's not going to get picked up. If nobody's going to watch it, if you say, oh, it's a bad book, right?
Like,
if
they should. Yeah, like
YouTube, honestly, if you do a YouTube reel or whatever, I'm hoping this one gets picked up.
Dude, I'm more likely to watch someone's thing if they're like, dude, this book sucked. And I'll be like, whoa, shit. Well, then I want to check that out. Like, what book sucks? Because I need to know what not to spend my money on and what to read digitally, right? That's kind of what I think. Yeah. So this was garbage. This was garbage. And I won't pick up another Ultimate X-Men book, unfortunately.
Nice. All right. Yeah. Well, let's get out of the hot garbage and let's actually get to some books that I did enjoy. So speaking of mutants, we'll stick with some mutant stuff. I actually enjoyed the new Ms. Marvel Mutant Menace. I don't know if you got a chance to read it.
I didn't read that one yet.
All right. So, you know, Iman Vellani returning to her character, Kamala Khan, you know, writing this other series, whether it's a mini or whatever it's going to be. So I enjoyed it because she so after the last series where she was over at Empire State, you know, she's been a mutant. You know, she returns to New Jersey, returns to Jersey City. And it's interesting because you're getting this dynamic of the people that love her because of the people that loved her as Kamala Khan, Ms. Marvel, what she did, what she had done, you know, over the past many years. But then you also have all these people that hate her because of the mutant factor. here, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like what's been going on in the X-Men universe and how people need to, you know, use the app to find, you know, oh, there's a mutant sighting, you know. And I like this because you get an idea. Like she's been so solidified into Jersey City and into that part of her, you know, culture, because you even get a lot of, you know, the culture in this issue as well, that this is what you really needed that you didn't get in the last one. And she's torn. She's torn on, you know, hey, do I go back to my old garbs of, you know, what I used to wear instead of this X-Men stuff? You know, she goes hiding into the sewers and you see some of the X-Men are there and, you know, same thing. Like she doesn't, they tell her like, oh, be careful out there. And I think it's going to be a better series than the last one, in my opinion. So I liked it. I recommend picking it up.
I was planning on reading it. I'm still going to read it. Never been a big Ms. Marvel fan, but like I did like the last series, and you know, we've talked about it a couple of times. Like I appreciate Iman Vellani kind of being a part of it and like really embracing the character, because she is one of the best things about Ms. Marvel, in my opinion, yeah. Both comics and MCU. It's decent. It's X-Men, so you know, I'll pick it up. And I agree with you. The last series wasn't bad. It was good. It wasn't mm-hmm. horrible. It's the whole supporting cast thing, man, that kind of wears on me sometimes, right? Like every hero now has to have like this supporting cast, a guy in a chair, a tinkerer, like, you know. And,
yeah. Well, she's got like her friends. I mean, and her that's, friends,
yeah.
You know, I can remember a time where I felt like there wasn't that in comics, yeah. Right? Like their guy in the chair was another superhero.
Right.
You yeah. know, like if you were reading DC, it was always like Justice League members. There was no other character, you know, there was no mm-hmm. like normal
kind of support staff. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah. I feel like that all happened like when Smallville started. Like once they did that universe,
or you know, Arrow, Clark, Arrow
yeah,
really,
and then yeah, it expanded. Really it, did, yes, yeah. Then it truly expanded with like Arrow and Flash. But
yeah.
originally, I think kind of Smallville started that up with, true. Hey, we need to actually have non supers around,
mm-hmm.
you know, move the story and have right. him to, have someone to talk to.
And like you had that in Spider-Man. Don't get me wrong, like back in the day, but you had like J. Jonah and the rest of the guys in the Daily Bugle, but they weren't like guys in the chair. It was actually like showing like kind of the dichotomy of like his superhero life and his real life, right? He's like out here, hey, I'm fighting these dudes, and then these guys are shitting on me at my job and my daily life, you know.
But who did he never talk to anybody?
He never talked to anybody, right? Dude. Yeah, yeah, he had Aunt May. He's juggling the life, he's juggling the girlfriends, which you know, and that's how it should be, dude. I'm sorry, like you're a superhero. Sucks to suck, dude. You gotta like, who doesn't want to be a superhero, right? You gotta give them something that's like makes it hard.
Yeah,
I don't know. Yeah, enough of the supporting casts.
Yeah, agreed. That's what they need to reboot, reboot and get out. So I guess you know we'll stick with a close Spider-Man character. So we got Venom 31.
I was gonna talk about this one too. Yeah,
all right. I'll leave it for you then. I'll leave you 31.
Oh, okay.
I'll just go
about it together if you want.
All right. So yeah, you know, again, we've kind of talked about this last week with the whole like Venom War thing mm-hmm. and what happens with a writer, right? You know, I think issue 30, I asked you, I was like, I don't really understand what Al Ewing's kind of doing. And then Torrin takes over mm-hmm. and he just writes the symbiotes. She really knows how to write the symbiotes.
And Carnage.
Yeah.
I mean, just yeah.
Yeah. This is a little crossover event that I guess is going to be between just the Carnage books and the Venom books with Carnage. So you have Carnage kind of going after Dylan, wanting to find out where Eddie is, you know, basically like, where is he? And trying to get underneath his skin. And I think it's just such a great written book. Like,
yeah,
she can write Carnage just in ways that I haven't seen Carnage written in so long. And yeah. even the idea of Venom, like, I feel like the lore is explored a lot more in this, you know, like where Carnage kind of says to Venom, not Dylan, but like how
the symbiote, yeah,
the symbiote, like how he's hiding stuff from him and like just so much that you don't realize that has been going on throughout the years of, because for the most part, the Venom symbiote has either been Eddie or, all right, Flash Thompson, like is a part, but it was never like, I felt like the true Venom, right?
Right.
So like the idea of like him hiding his memories from Dylan, hiding what he used to do in his past, but like Carnage being like, tell me what it is. And then like ripping just the ideas of you need to bring me your father. And I just love Cletus. He's just such a great character. So
yeah. Thoughts? Oh, I thought it was great too. And like you said, Torrin just, there's something, not only does she knows how to write Carnage, but it's also like everything in the background, right? Like it's the way characters react to Carnage. It really brings like a fear, and there's like this, there's really like a sense of dread whenever Carnage is on the scene. And like, I felt it too in one of the scenes. I think it's one of the first pages of the book. There's a lot of like inner dialogue going on with each character, right? And she does that a lot. And he goes up against some guy who's like a cop. They talk about, hey, he's the son of a cop. He followed in his father's footsteps, right? Mm-hmm. And you can just like, then Cletus like interacts with the guy. And there's a sense of dread. And you know, like, dude, this ain't going to end good for this guy. And like, you don't see anything happen, but you know, the dude got murked, right? Like, yeah. it's rough. But yeah, dude, I like what you meant about the lore of like Venom. Like you said, it kind of delves into more the symbiote. And he talks about, hey, dude, like Carnage is straight up telling Dylan, has he told you about how he screwed up these people's lives? Like, he screwed up your father's life. He wanted to commit suicide. He screwed up your mom's life. She murdered people. Yep. Like, he murders. The symbiote murders. He's not a good thing. So yeah, I really liked that as well. I don't know, you know, where it's going at the end. I think we both kind of agree what Al Ewing's been
doing. Unbeyonder.
Yeah, this whole like metaphysical kind of situation with Venom is getting a little tiring for me. But I'm excited because Torrin's there, and dude, she's crushing it. So
yeah. And then it's not because we had her on here on the podcast. That was just
icing on the cake, to be honest.
Yeah, it's just great writing. I absolutely love writing. So, yeah. And then I guess final book, I'll jump into a DC book. So a book that I probably didn't even know was coming out, The Batman, First Night. Interesting new miniseries. It's basically set in the post-depression. It's set in the 30s. It's kind of almost like a year one, but not obviously time frame, because Batman did come out in the late 30s. So you get this like World War One, entering into World War Two with the Nazis. It's taking place in Gotham City, and it's in a Gotham City that's would rival our own universe at that time. So, you know, things are spoken about like, oh, well, there's these mass, you know, either murders or things that are happening, and they're blaming the Nazis. And it's like, that's something that you never really would hear in Gotham City. Like, they don't ever bring up like real world issues,
right?
Especially Gotham, because it's a made up city, but they don't really bring up that stuff, you know, in the DC world too much. So it's got Batman, it's got James Gordon. And the thing is, it has this villain and it has this horror aspect to it, but you don't know who it is. And it doesn't even have to be any one of his main rogues. The way it's brought up out is it's actually like an older Batman story from the early detective stuff, just almost modernized for our time. So good little issue. I don't know if it's going to be like a 6-issue mini or something like that, but I thought it was pretty good. It's got some, like I said, a lot of horror stuff. So definitely check it out. The Batman, The First Night, number one.
So. Cool.
What about you, man?
Yeah. So I read all the books except for last one I got to read is Star Wars High Republic number four. So some honorable mentions, I guess, were Weapon X-Men. I kind of spoke about this a couple weeks ago. It's going to be a mini series, almost like an Exiles type series, with different Wolverines from different universes. Of course, you got Old Man Logan, you've got Age of Apocalypse Wolverine, and you've got like a zombie Wolverine. You got a fat Wolverine.
Yeah, I read it.
Kind of funny. And then Jane Howlett. She's from like, you know, 1909 or something like that. It's not bad. It's not great so far. And, you know, honestly, I've never been a big Onslaught fan, and that's kind of the villain they're going after. But it's cool to see Old Man Logan again in AOA Wolverine. I love him. One-handed Wolverine. So there's honorable mention. You know, I talk about it a lot. Radiant Black 28 and 28.5. So it's really cool they're still doing this thing where two issues come out.
And you don't know who is.
So it's each one is like a different, is Nathan or I'm a mind blank right now, or the other guy, Nathan or the other guy. And it's actually like completely different stories. Like it's not just panels just made with the one character in there. It's completely different. Like there's not in the early ones, maybe like 26, maybe 25, 26. It was a little bit more similar, but now we're kind of getting a little bit more astray. So they're completely two different books. Really enjoying that, thinking that's fun. And then I don't remember if you talked about this last week. You might have, but if so, I'm coming back to it because I just read it recently. It was the Animal Pound number 2.
I did not. No.
Okay. So Animal Pound number 2, it's cool. It's very this. Did you read this issue?
I probably forgot about it. It's probably bogged on with like a bunch of other books that need to
go. So, you know, I'm pretty sure we talked about Animal Pound number 1 when it came out, and basically these animals in the pound are on their own, and they've now created like a system of how they're going to adapt. But of course they're coming into issues of like, we don't have any food. And so they have to basically create a government. And so you've got the dogs, the cats, and the rabbits. And the book, it starts off, book 2 starts off with like a dog killing a rabbit because he's hungry. And so they build like a Congress, or, you know, if you will, it's like they almost have like the executive, judicial, and like Senate branch, or executive, judicial, and legislative branch, right, of the government. Yeah. It's very, very like similar to politics and what's going on. It just, there's definitely like a sub level, like it's very not subtle. It's actually right there in your face, but mirroring like human politics with these animals. And even at like the most basic level, because they're animals, right? They're talking about security, food. And if you break down everything that goes on in our world, I mean, what else are we really talking about? Security and food, right? Those are the two most important things in your life, in every human's life. So yeah, it's good. It's really good. They even vote, bro. They even have like a voting system. So like at one point they vote, hey, we're going to either vote on if you like the way we're going to vote. And then if you do like the way we're vote on who you want to win. And then they talk about how it mirrors like, you know, the Republicans and the Democrats, like obviously the cats are going to vote for the cat and all the dogs are going to vote for the dog. Mm-hmm. But then they come up with a system of like weighing whose vote means more. So because obviously dogs are bigger, they need more food, but they also provide more security. So the actual weight of your vote is based on the weight of the animal. But there's more rabbits, so like, right, they may not weigh as much, but because there's more of them, the weight is, so it's very interesting, dude. It's cool. It's kind of fun. So.
Yeah, I gotta get back onto it. I definitely have it. I just haven't read it.
Yeah. So Animal Pound was good. And then Edenwood, that's probably my pick of the week, maybe a couple of weeks old because it came from DCBS. Edenwood number 5, supposed to be a 5-issue series, and it looks like they're going to do a little bit more. I actually do want to go. It's a little bit of a confusing story. I think I plan on, when I get a chance, I want to go back and read all 5 issues back to back now. But the art from Tony Daniels is amazing, and I really like the opportunities this story may go to, or like what it could provide. And it's already going to come back. I can't remember at the end of the book, it says maybe in the summertime, the next arc will start, but really liked Edenwood and definitely suggest, maybe that's another one that's maybe underneath your radar that we were talking about earlier. Check out Edenwood. So, nice. So
that cool. Awesome. Good books all around. Yeah. I definitely going to read Animal Pound. I definitely have some books on my stack that are, piling up that I haven't read and probably could be talking about. So let's kind of move out of the currently reading stuff and we'll stick with some comic books. So comic book articles. So 2 titles coming up that you should be picking up. So the Energon universe is growing. Mm-hmm. We have some upcoming mini series coming from Skybound Entertainment. So the first of them is going to be Destro, written by Dan Wathers, and art is Andre Bressen. Changing the balance of power in the Energon universe forever in a new G.I. Joe miniseries. Destro number 1 is coming out June 17th, right after the Cobra Commander series ends. And to follow up with the, obviously, the bad guys, you got on the good guys' side, you have Scarlet number 1. Yo, Joe, Scarlet number 1, going to be written by Kelly Thompson, art by Marco Ferreri. You got Scarlett O'Hara is about to take on the most dangerous Black Ops mission of her career, launching on June the 5th of 2024. So as we've seen with Void Rivals, Transformers, the Duke, the G.I. Joe stuff, we're continuously growing all these characters in this new Energon universe. And I know there's an Energon universe one shot coming out. So thoughts on these characters and, you know, what can we look forward to? In, 2024.
I think this is awesome. I love the way they're doing the Joe aspect of the Energon universe, right? So they've had, we have two little mini series already. We got Duke and Cobra Commander. You got a Joe and you got a Cobra, right? Good guy, bad guy. And five issues. And in each issue, you're also getting like an introduction. Obviously, dude, you look at G.I. Joe and there's what, hundreds of characters, and everyone has a favorite and everyone wants their characters show up.
Oh yeah, of course.
And so Duke and Cobra have done a great job of introducing like a few characters here and there, right? And Duke, you got Sergeant, was it Sergeant Slaughter who showed up, or Roadblock showed up. Mm-hmm. And the last one we had, Cobra, we had the big death for Major Blood, right? Or was that in yeah, Duke?
That was one, in Duke.
In Duke, yeah. So you're seeing
the Dreadnoughts and Cobra, Cobra Law stuff, but yeah.
Yeah. So you're getting like a sprinkle in of the G.I. Joe universe, right? So now we're moving on from those two characters, and now you're getting two more, right? You're getting Destro, who we've already seen kind of Destro. It's not his first time we're seeing him. He's kind of been sprinkled around a little bit here in the universe. And you're getting Scarlet. So the really good thing, cool thing about Scarlet is we're getting closer to Snake Eyes, right? Because it says to the most dangerous Black Ops mission of her career, infiltrating the mysterious rising power in Japan, known as the, I might butcher this, Arashikage clan. Her one lead is her former partner, Jinx, right? So Now we're getting a little bit closer to Snake Eyes. Obviously, everyone's wondering, he's like the Wolverine of G.I. Joe, right? Everyone's like, of course. How do you have G.I. Joe without Snake Eyes? So we're getting closer to him. We're getting closer to, you know, all that kind of fun ninja stuff. And then Destro also, you're getting the twins, bro. You're getting Tomax and Zamot. Mm-hmm. You know, that's awesome. Like, those are two great characters as well. I really love how they're doing this. They're kind of keeping it concise, and you're getting this universe. It's not just, boom, here's Cobra, here's G.I. Joe. So mm-hmm. I think it's great, dude. I'm excited.
Yeah, and I like how they're introducing a few characters. You know, again, they trickle in these characters. They give you a tease. They're not giving you everybody all at once. And,
right.
You know, you don't know, right? Because there's so many characters, and that's the one thing that I feel like, especially when I was reading Transformers a lot on the IDW side, is you'd have a plethora of Transformers in an issue, and you won't even know who is who, and if you don't remember or you weren't paying attention from like three miniseries ago, you're like,
you didn't get enough. You never got enough of the characters you wanted.
It's like literally less is more. Yes. And you know, especially with the Transformers stuff, like, yeah, I'm fine. Like, give me just a half a dozen on one side and a half a dozen on the other. Mm-hmm. I'm fine with that.
Yep.
You don't need to be, you know, bringing in like 20 Decepticons, 20 Autobots to this big battle, because, you know, it's someone realistically will need to die. And I feel like that's the one good thing is what they're doing with Skybound. What they're doing is taking these characters, and even if it's a character you loved, hey, you don't know. They could be gone. It's kind of like a Game of Thrones type of thing.
Stakes are high, man, and that's the way to have it, you know? So,
check it out.
I love Energon Universe, dude. I love Void Rivals. I know that's probably the title people are kind of like, because everyone's there for Transformers or G.I. Joe, right? But I think Void Rivals is awesome. And Void Rivals 7 came out this week?
Yep, 7 just came out.
So, yeah, I'm waiting for that one to come in the mail, but I'm excited to read that.
So, you know, I guess with these coming out in June, and then we'll get, I guess, 5 issues of that, you know, for you, mm-hmm. who would you like to see after that? Or even on the Transformers side, you know, obviously they are continuing the ongoing. Who's kind of someone that you'd want to see maybe like a little mini series for, whether it's good guy, bad guy,
for Transformers,
either or anybody, you know, any of this universe.
I'd like some more like individual. I'd like, it's tough, dude. I like what they're doing with Joe in the mini series, right? For really focusing on like a character. And Transformers is very strong, but let's be honest, you've really only got a lot of like Optimus, which you knew you're going to get, and you're getting a lot of Starscream. Mm-hmm. We're not seeing a lot of like the Decepticons aren't getting a lot of play. The Autobots are definitely getting a little bit more, which is always kind of was in the cartoon as well, right? The good guys always got a little bit more attention. I'd like to see more Jazz, obviously, with the Autobots. I've always liked Wheeljack a lot, you know, so there's a lot. I mean, dude, throw a rock. There's so many, right, that I want to see more of. It's tough. The Joe stuff, it's... Unfortunately, I'm like the basic bitch also, dude. Like, I want Storm Shadow and I want Snake Eyes.
I was actually shocked that they didn't do a Baroness. Like, I couldn't believe the announcement wasn't going to be a Baroness.
So I like that, though. I like that you're seeing the Baroness in Duke, right?
Yeah.
So you're getting some of her in there. And just like, I can't even remember, where did we see Destro? In Void Rivals, I think. I think Destro showed up in Void Rivals first. So we've seen Destro, and now we're getting him. I think it's a good look, because we haven't seen Scarlet yet, I don't believe, right?
No, I don't think she's been in anything.
So I think that's cool. I like how they're just bringing, boom, here's a character that you haven't seen. It's a very big marquee character, and they're operating in a different like area. But you can kind of already know that probably by the end of her mission, she's going to meet up with like the Joes, right? That's kind of like a formation type thing or something. And that's more realistic. So, yeah.
Yeah, I like it. So, yeah, coming out in June, be sure to be picking up these titles. You got Destro number one and Scarlet number one. So for Joes and the Cobra side. So last article before we get out of here, we have one over at CBR.com. So the new X-Men 97 poster unveils episode titles and release schedule. So we just posted this over on our Instagram as well. So the latest poster for Marvel Studios, highly anticipated X-Men 97 series reveals the titles for the upcoming DC animated revival. So we have a nice little two-issue premiere starting on March the 20th, going all the way into a three-part season one, I guess you want to call finale of a three-parter called The Tolerance is Extinction. So what can we expect from X-Men 97 this year? We have obviously a lot of some of the returning cast, but a lot of new people coming in. A lot of the characters, you know, we've seen the one trailer. We've seen Cyclops running this team now. Different Magneto. Get a little bit of a, I guess, an older crew, right? I think I feel like they've aged a little bit since the X-Men, what was it, 92, 93, something like that. But yeah, I'm looking forward to this. You know, obviously, you know, going real quick down the line, to me, my X-Men and Mutant Liberation Begins, obviously that's going to be the big thing with Cyclops. Fire Made Flesh, Rotendo, Life Death Part 1, Remember It, and then it skips and it does Life Death Part 2, Bright Eyes, and then, like I said, The Tolerance of Extinction. You know, I'm wondering if we're going to get a more centralized, you know, season, unlike how the original X-Men was like every issue was or every episode was almost like an issue, right? Like, here's a new character in the story. Or are we just going to get a very focused story on just these X-Men and not really introduce anybody new that you don't really know about? Because I know, like, Sinister is supposed to be the villain, right?
Mm-hmm.
That where they're kind of, I guess that's where realistically I'm thinking we're going for the Tolerance of Extinction.
That's what it seems like. That's kind of what the information has come out. It seems like it's leaning towards the Sinister, right? So yeah, you know, I don't know. The titles aren't really giving away a ton. Life Death is probably the one that kind of gives away the most. Obviously there was the Chris Claremont, you know, story Life Death, which dealt a lot with Storm and Forge. I think there was like a Mojo type spiral Lady Deathstrike thing going on in like Dazzler. So, you know, those are some like pretty classic stories. So maybe we'll see some of that in there with that title. I like that the title names aren't coming or aren't giving things away. Fire Made Flesh, you know, I don't know. Is that a Sunfire story? Are we going to see some character like that possibly show up? I'm looking at this cover too. And I'm going to be honest, I haven't been like following a lot about this because I don't want a lot of spoilers and whatnot, but there's a character in there. Is that Sunspot? Is that supposed to be Sunspot that's in that character?
I believe it is.
Okay. So that's probably Fire Made Flesh then. So it looks like it definitely could be Sunspot. Just the jacket's not super familiar. But
yeah, I mean they mention all the characters in there, but he is not one that is listed. So
yeah. And I'm looking at the cast for the show and I see Sunspot. I see Sinister and I'm also seeing Forge. So I'm assuming, you know, Forge will be in there in the Life Death stuff. I'm looking forward to it. You know, I know there's a lot of like pissing and moaning, I guess, about the Morph character. And honestly, like,
I thought people were pissing and moaning because of Rogue's ass.
Oh yeah, that too. I mean, that's actually probably the thing that's like the most realistic. Like, anyway, we should be most upset. You know, there's a lot of pissing and moaning. Look, when I say pissing and moaning, if you think a certain way, I'm not trying to offend you, whether it's pro or against Morph. All I'll say is, I think I've moved past this issue of like being pissed off about that kind of stuff. Like, I just don't care anymore. It's so tiresome. But if you are going to have one character, if you are going to have a character who's like a they, them, or, you know, non-binary, you know, it makes sense that it's a dude who changes into like anyone he can be. Like, it also makes sense, like with the Mystique story. I think I talked about that during the Mystique drama not too long ago. I mean, it makes sense. You might be happy that they didn't do it to Wolverine or something like that, right? So
I think another character who's in here, they don't really talk about it, and it's not in the, but Goblin Queen, right? Isn't she supposed to make an appearance? Madeline Pryor? I think
I haven't heard that.
I thought I saw that because I know they're supposed to be doing X-Men 97 variant covers.
Okay.
They're almost like action figure, kind of like the John Tyler Christopher action figure covers. Yeah. But they're all the different X-Men characters. And I know she was on one of them. So I think
maybe that's, you know, we'll just get, anniversary we'll get an of her.
Maybe. And I think you're also going to see the Hellfire Club. Yeah. Well, that's
you'll the whole see Hellfire thing. Club for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that's where kind of like they're doing is the Goblin Queen kind of coming out of that. So, yeah, I mean, we'll see what happens for X-Men 97. So again, starting, you know, again, this is literally right around the corner, two weeks away. And then ending in May, it's going to be interesting because this is a longer season. You know, I know, yeah, it's animated, but 10 episodes longer than anything else that, you know, Disney Marvel has put out. So
I'm excited for Bishop being like, it looks like he's going to be a main character. I love Bishop, bro. Bishop's one of my favorite X-Men. So I really hope he has a strong role and character in there. So get rid of Jubilee, dude. God, please.
Well, they kind of keep the same. That's right.
I know they have to.
It's more of like a 2000s. Maybe you could like bring in somebody newer, but it's fine. Years after the original one, we're all fine. We all grew up on that Saturday morning cartoon stuff. So
wait, what is this? Did they Forge? They gave Forge a real name. His name is. What is his name in the cast? It's Daniel Lone Eagle.
That's not the actor.
No, that's his. Claremont's outline for the character debut identifies Forge as Daniel Lone Eagle, although that name has not been used for the character in Marvel canon. Yeah, the name's, I've never heard that name before until now. It's always just called Forge, which would make sense that he has a real name. His parents didn't just name him Forge, and then he have a power he could forge things. Like, wow, you know, it really worked out well. So, anyway,
true. All right, everybody.
When does it come out? Sorry,
March 20th starts.
Okay. Oh, real quick, before we get out of here, and not to go too in depth, have you been watching Bad Batch?
Yes, I have.
I haven't even started it yet.
Oh, yeah.
How many episodes are there so far?
1, 2, 3, 4. Okay. I think they did the 2-episode premiere, and then it was an episode with,
I'll like get into that tonight then.
Catch up on that. And again, if you're not watching Shogun on Hulu, 3 episodes in, and again, and I recommend the same thing. If you're watching it, do not be on your phone. Do not be doing anything else because there's a lot of obviously Japanese subtitles. Language that you got to read. Yeah, you have to read subtitles. And literally, there was times where I had to go back because just not knowing the character's like name, like. I have to like almost write down and IMDb. I'm like, oh, okay, this is the character that they're talking about and like what's happening. So highly recommend Shogun.
Speaking of subtitles, I saw some, I don't know. I must've saw it today on Instagram or something. And it was saying that Gen Z and millennials, the majority, like a really strong percentage, millennials and Generation Z can hear just fine, but 63% prefer subtitles. Says a new study, which is funny. Like I go to some of my friend's house and they'll have subtitles on. And I'm like, dude, why do you have subtitles on? This dude speaking English? Like what's happening here? And like, I find it very distracting. Like I find myself having to read rather than watch if it's English. So I'll be sitting there and I'll be like reading the subtitles, even though I can hear it perfectly well. But yeah, it's kind of funny.
Well, what about like video games? Do you leave the
subtitles? I don't do subtitles in video games. Well, I mean, they have it. I guess Final Fantasy has it, right? It shows up.
Yeah, but I'm sure you could take it off.
I'm sure you could. I'd leave those on because I usually click.
Oh, okay. You leave it on for the video games, but you don't.
So you know what I do for the video games for the most part? I'll read it. And like before, because the person, I read faster than that guy talks. So I'll read and then I'll boop, 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 and I'll read through it. And I cut off
the voice actors. Oh, of course. I do the same thing.
I totally cut off the voice actors.
Well, I just mean, I'm not talking about like when there's like the story, but like when there's like cinematics that have voice when they're talking and, you know, things are going on. Would you still have the subtitles on?
I probably don't mess with it. I probably just leave it. Right. Yeah.
First time around, yeah, I leave them on, but then I turn them off. But yeah, again, Shogun is definitely the show right now to be watching. If you want something new to watch, I highly recommend Shogun. So before we get out of here, of course, what we're talking about, we are literally less than 30 days away from King Kong. If you all saw the post on our Instagram page, we got ourselves a cool, fancy banner.
Oh, yeah. We're the real deal now.
Yeah, we're the real deal. You'll be seeing that at cons. Set up so we fancy now, boys and girls.
Not just a couple trolls anymore.
I just want to bring that around. I get so here's a real quick funny story. So I posted that on Instagram and I posted it on my story.
Yeah.
My wife goes, "Are you so that thing that's you know that poster thing?" She's like, "Is that gonna be set up all the time?" And I go, "What?" She's like, "You know that thing that you took a picture of with the cats are by." And I was like, "Oh no, that's only set up for like shows. I don't have that set up like in the basement. Like
you're like announcing yourself in the basement."
As she like comes down the stairs, like it's just right there.
It's like your coat of arms, like
yeah. And you have to like, and you have to take a picture because the QR code's on there. So,
yeah, right.
No, I was like, that thing had to get put away immediately. Like the cats, like even people commented, they were like, "Your cats are gonna rip that shit apart." I go, "Yeah, I know. That's why it immediately went back in the bag. Like, put it back. It's in the bag. It's set up. It's ready to go. For King Kong, and then again, also Terrific Con." So.
Nice.
Thanks everybody for checking out this episode, season 4, episode 10. And of course, before we get out of here, make sure you check out our friends over at Sidekick Supplies, our sponsor for this week's episode. Enjoy the rest of your night, day, weekend. Peace out, everybody.
Later.
Hey, comic book collectors. Do you want to protect what you collect? Do you hate when your comic books slide around in your short box, or you need to turn them sideways just so they don't bend or fall over? Well, look no further than Sidekick Supplies. Their product fits firmly inside your comic box, so you don't need to worry. And not only is their product made in the USA, but also ships free directly to your doorstop. Check out our sponsor, Sidekick Supplies, at sidekicksupplies.com and use the code ComicCon15 for 15% off your purchase. Believe me, you'll be ordering more than one.